Prime Video brings thrilling entertainment. Watch Heavyweight Detective Reacher Season 3, included with Prime.
Exactly how much danger is this job putting me in?
Treat yourself to the lovably chaotic Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy, available to buy.
Did you have sex
last night?
Yes, and it was amazing!
Whatever you're into, it's right here. Prime Video. Click or tap the banner to find out more.
Hey, it's Dan Bova from Entrepreneur Media, and welcome to How Success Happens, the show where I talk to awesome people who do awesome things and ask the simple question, how on earth did you do that? Ready to get informed and inspired? I am too, so let's get to it. How Success Happens starts now. Hey everyone, and welcome to the show. I've had on a lot of different people whose products are designed to make you feel all kinds of things. We had a thriller writer who wants to make you feel scared, an organizational expert who wants to make you feel calm. Well, today's guest runs the Pucker Butt Pepper Company, and he wants you to feel things on a whole different level. Fans of the show Hot Ones are well aware of his face and products. Please welcome the guy who holds the Guinness Book World Record for creating the hottest pepper in the world, Smokin' Ed Curry. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Ed, we're recording this around 10 o'clock in the morning. How many insanely hot peppers have you eaten already?
No peppers today, but I have done some pepper oil in my coffee.
Oh, really?
That's how I steer my day every morning. A few drops of pepper oil in the coffee.
Wow.
Yeah, it just gives you energy, lights you up, and it's how I like to feel good.
Wow, that's amazing. Some people can't even drink black coffee, but that is like a whole nother level. So as I mentioned, you are the Guinness Book World Record holder, and you actually dethroned yourself. First, you had the Carolina Reaper, which was named the hottest in the world. Then you came up with Pepper X, dethroning yourself. So I want to ask you, what does success mean to you?
Success to me means my immediate family and the family that God has brought together in this company are all happy. Success for me has nothing to do with business or money. It's that I am being a good man and supporting the people I love.
Has that changed for you over the years? Was there a time where you were, especially in the early days of the company, nose to the grindstone, got to get this thing done? Has that evolved for you?
Well, we're still nose to the grindstone, got to get things done. But as you mature in age, see, a little background, I was a drug addict, alcohol and drugs, for a long time. I've been clean now 26 plus years.
Wow, congratulations.
But as I matured in my recovery, I realized that the God of my understanding, everybody's got the right to their own God, not apostolizing. The God of my understanding always takes care of me. And whether things go the way I planned or the way he plans, it's always his will that I'm trying to follow. So it gets less and less important to focus on success that most people think about in business, and more important to focus on the success of being a productive member of society, being the one who takes care of the group of people that has been brought together, the one who makes sure that the doors stay open, no matter what. And if I need help, I ask for help. I get on my knees and ask for help. If I don't need help, I still get on my knees and thank them for not needing the help. You know, it's a journey. I was in the banking industry for a while, and money, success was more. Now, to me, success becomes less. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's beautifully put. And not to make light of it, but I think your products bring a lot of people to their knees shouting for God's help too.
Yeah, well, We warn people not to go straight to the hot stuff. We do make mild, but they always go straight for the hot stuff and then they suffer.
Yeah.
And it's only temporary, and then they come back for more. They always do.
Yeah, yeah. I think the super hot stuff, like I talked about, hot ones, it's more and more part of our national culture and understanding. But for people who aren't as familiar with the Scoville ratings and all that, because yours is, what is it, 2.69 million. Can you explain how things are rated and the science behind that?
All right. Well, things are rated on averages. Okay. So we pick a lot of peppers and get averages. Really, with science, you got to do averages. It's not just one pepper one time. And say, for example, a jalapeno that you get at the store, you know, there are 3,000 to 7,000 Scoville heat units. Most people think jalapenos are hot. Habaneros really start in the 60,000 to 80,000 range and go up 200s. You got ghost peppers, you got scorpion peppers, starting to approach a million. The difference in Scoville heat units is also a logarithmic scale more than a linear scale. So a habanero is, if it was 50,000 Scoville heat units, just to keep the math simple, is really about 30 times hotter than the jalapeno, not 10 times hotter. Okay, so you're trying to compare, if you think jalapenos are hot, those are the roller skates that kids use that strap on your shoes.
Right.
We are talking ballistic missiles shooting through the sky at super, supersonic speeds. Okay, there's no comparison between the two. Why we look for those kind of things and why do we develop those kind of things? I mean, part of it's ego. It's nice having the Guinness World Record. Okay, don't get me wrong. But really, it's about economies of scale. If I could use 55 gallons of jalapeno to heat something up the way I wanted to, I'd only use 5 gallons of Reaper to do the same thing. And maybe, you know, a pint of Pepper X to do the exact same thing. So we can do more with less.
You said you were in finance. How did you land here?
Well, when I got dropped off at college, my parents told me I was going to die of heart disease or cancer. And if I wanted to continue living the lifestyle I was living, I was already a full-blown addict. I better do something about it. So I started studying in the library. There was no internet. We had libraries and books.
I don't know what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I started studying the indigenous populations around the world that had no indices of cancer or heart disease, or very low indices of cancer and heart disease. And they had 5 things in common everywhere in the world. One of them was peppers. So that started me on my journey back in 1981. I should have stayed with that journey back then, but it just became something to hurt people with. I got peppers from all over the world, threw them, hurt people, made stuff to hurt people. I dabbled with some people in the community in the 90s, but mostly what I did was just do it to hurt my friends and family. But when I got clean, God led me back to doing peppers again. And I was still working. We had, I think it was 30 employees when I finally stopped working at the bank.
Oh, really? Wow.
Just because it kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Do you remember, was there a moment where you're like, okay, it's peppers for me?
When I first tried peppers after I got clean, I knew that I was supposed to be doing it. But, you know, your brain thinks one way, your heart and your stomach think another way. The God of my understanding talks to me in my heart and my stomach. So if the thought comes into my brain, I wait for those two things to agree also. Because usually my first thought is wrong. But, you know, I took the risk in, I think it was 2011 or 2012. And just been doing this full time ever since. My wife and I have pretty much funded this thing fully. Anytime there's a shortfall, we got to dig into what we had saved up before we started it. But we're going to keep it going as long as we're supposed to keep it going. I truly believe that when it's not supposed to, I'm going to God, my understanding is going to let me know or I'll get a spiritual spanking.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, you've got legions of devoted fans who hope that message doesn't come to you anytime soon.
No, I'll probably be doing this till the day I die. And then my kids will take over.
So what is currently your bestseller? You mentioned that people go for the crazy hot and then they're like, whoa, and then they dial it back.
Well, currently on the ones that we call super hot, our bestseller that we make for ourselves is Smoking at Special Reserve. The bestseller that we make for someone else, because we do co-pack for other people, is the Hot Ones Experience. On the non-super hot side, our bestseller is actually our mild Oh Boy Garlic Soy, which, well, I'm doing a trip around the world. I'm trying to make a hot sauce based on the national condiment of every single country in the world. Our mild Oh Boy Garlic Soy, we just can't keep it in stock. And then again, in co-packing, I would say it's the Hot Ones Garlic Fresno.
What did the Hot Ones show mean for your business? Was there a before Hot Ones and after Hot Ones?
We were doing pretty good when we got involved with the Hot Ones people. But what it did was allow me to hire more people and get to a point where we're one of the bigger minor players in the industry. There's the top five major players, and then we are probably in the top five of the minor players. So me being on the show gets us exposed to a lot more people. Our reach across the world, and right now we're shipping to like 95 countries on a regular basis, but our reach across the world has been expanding at about the same rate since about 2011. So it's a sustainable growth. We had a couple of years of unsustainable growth. We're back to being sustainable again.
So when it's unsustainable, what does that mean?
We don't have enough to make everything we need. And then when you're running out of product, sales go down, and revenue goes down, there's tough spots, you know? And then we have stuff like the weather that we can't control. Like last year, got a major hurricane, wiped out about 90% of our crop. We had harvested a lot before that, but we could have harvested a whole lot more and taken on a few more projects that we didn't take on.
When you face issues like that, because it's whatever industry you're in as an entrepreneur, there are going to be those, whether it's a hurricane or a supply chain issue or something goes wrong. What has helped you kind of power through those moments? Any advice you could share on that?
Well, you have to have faith in what you're doing. And faith that the God of your understanding is backing you in what you're doing. You have to have faith in your team, and you have to have faith in the people that you are selling to. Because say, for example, COVID, everybody thought the world was going to come to an end with COVID, but I went ahead and kept on making more, and we wound up selling huge quantities on the internet for 3 years straight. Unbelievable quantity. Okay. I had faith that this was not going to affect our business when the bean counters and the advisors were all like, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. You know, so you have to have a good group of people that you can talk honestly to, also. Okay. Because people like to sugarcoat problems, and no solution comes from sugarcoating a problem.
You got to pepper coat it.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I just wonder, because you talked about how you do a lot of media, you're out there at festivals, you're meeting people, and it seems like everywhere you go, people want you to eat something insanely hot on camera. Or do you ever have moments where you're like, man, I wish we just made like yummy chocolate?
Yeah. Well, this past year, honestly, was the first year I started telling people, no, I'm already on fire. Come back in a half hour. If you're the first one back, I'll do it with you. It was my ego that was keeping me from saying no. But yeah, it's literally everywhere I go. And It's even to the point here in Charlotte, people don't really know me. I'm south of Charlotte. So I can walk down the street and it's pretty much okay. Okay. All right. In my hometown, I take a lot of pictures. But if I go to New York, like for example, my wife and I were at a wedding in New York not too long ago. We didn't get 10 feet down the street without someone wanting to take a picture. People were pulling stuff out of their pockets that was Pucker brought. Look, I have your spices with me. Let's have some, you know? But it's literally like that almost everywhere I go, to the point where I was in the bathroom in Folly Beach just a couple weeks ago, and the staff at the restaurant started coming into the bathroom to talk to me. Hey, you're the pepper guy. You got any salt? And I'm like, can I finish peeing, please? Okay. We took pictures in the bathroom. It was just crazy. But I never say no to that kind of stuff. I never say no to talking to a kid. If I have the means, I support every charity that asks me, you know, because this is all part of the blessing that I've been given with this company. So you never, ever look the gift horse in the mouth. But I've learned to say, give me a half hour.
Right, right. Being asked to take a picture in the middle of pee, that's a good one. But it might be the downside of it a bit, but
it's not a downside. It's still a plus.
Yeah, for sure. So I wonder if you can give advice to entrepreneurs, whether it's food or whatever it is, about being out there and being the face of this thing and not just sort of being stuck behind a computer looking at numbers.
If you are out there and you are the face of the company, you always have to say positive. I highly recommend that you don't drink any alcohol. So I have seen a lot of companies out in the public where the people start drinking and then they give a very bad face to the public. And one bad thing spreads a whole lot faster than 100 good things. Okay. So in my industry, they're usually gone within a year or so because it becomes a habit and then they're not selling anything. And really, you just got to keep a positive face no matter what's going on. I mean, I'll talk about when I got the first Guinness World Record, we were literally at a show that was trying to figure out who I was going to lay off because I couldn't make payroll that week. No one who interacted with me knew that was going on. No one. But
oof.
Then the Guinness World Record came. And I talked to everybody and said, look, I either got to lay you off or you got to wait for some more money. And people, once we had that record, they were like, okay, we'll wait. We went without paychecks for a couple weeks.
Oh, wow. You've talked so glowingly about your team here today. And when you receive the Guinness book, you thanked your team. Can you talk a little bit about building your team? What are some of the things you ask people? What are some of the signs that tell you this is the right person for what we're trying to do here?
Honestly, most of the people who work with me, I feel it in my gut. Then I feel it in my heart. And then I know it's the right thing. People ask to work for us all the time. A lot of them are just looking to steal stuff. A lot of them are looking to hook onto the fame. But there's a guy standing next to me right now, Tom. I had met Tom at a festival. I knew in my heart immediately after talking to him for 5 minutes that this was one of my brothers. It took me another 6 years to talk him into just coming out here for the summer.
Okay.
But I had no plans on letting him go. He was here. He's been here ever since. Tom has keys to my house. Tom has keys to everything. Immediately, because God, in my understanding, let me know this is the right person. All right. And has there been people that I felt that way that turned out to be wrong? Yes. But the things that they did to themselves. And I literally, I'm the second, third chancer, fourth chancer. But that's why I have an executive team to say, Ed, you're crazy. We're doing this.
Right. Right. Is there a day one initiation? Does everyone have to eat something?
Well, we used to do that, but, you know, there's some people who just can't take it. It took me 20 years to get my wife to start eating super hot stuff.
Right. Okay.
And I met her. She thought Franks and Tabasco were the hottest things in the world.
Right.
Do you, like some of your fans, walk around with bottles in your pocket in case you get hungry?
I always have hot sauce with me. Well, maybe get a new fridge just to put hot sauce in because I was filling up our other one.
Beautiful.
And just about every room in the house has a stash of hot sauce.
So it's always within reach, you're saying?
Yes.
That's fantastic. All right, Ed. So now we're going to move into the How Success Happens speed round. I'm just going to ask you a couple of quick questions. Just give me the first thing that pops into your head. So the first question is, if you could have a Guinness Book World Record for anything else besides the world's hottest pepper, what would it be?
The most fundraising for a charity.
Your go-to suggestion for calming the fire in your mouth, milk, bread, or something else?
Lime juice.
Lime juice. Interesting.
You swish it around in your mouth and then you spit it out. It doesn't make the heat go away, but it slows down the process and gets rid of all the extra.
Ah, interesting. Did not know that. What is a habit that you are grateful to have and one you wish you could ditch?
Grateful to have is saying goodnight to my children every single night and talking to them. I have an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old. And one I could ditch, probably nicotine. In any form.
Okay, got it. And then finally, give us your spicy take. What's something most people love, but you secretly can't stand?
Most people love salt. I hate salt.
Interesting. So there's no salt in the hot sauces?
Some of them have it in, but I don't like it. There's just sometimes combinations of flavors require salt. Up until about 2 years ago, all of our hot sauces were salt-free.
Salt-free, okay. And it's just a taste thing? You just...
Just never like salt.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And I'm getting used to salt. Like I like salt on pretzels. Put it on my food. You know what I mean? It's a crazy thing.
So no salt, but you'll put 2 million Scoville sauce. No problem.
I'm an idiot. My wife will tell you.
That is fantastic. This isn't a question, but something that I heard you say, and I'd like to repeat. You recommended don't cook with these hot sauces. A mistake that I made once and smoked out my house and we were like running for cover because my house became just like an explosion of spice that everyone was breathing in. It was crazy.
Yeah, mix it in after you take it off the flame.
Very good advice. Trust me. All right, Ed. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to share your story. And what an amazing success story. So happy for you personally, the journey you've been on, and also just as you described, you've built this thing, all these people working there, giving everyone a lot of pleasure, a lot of pain, but mostly pleasure. So great to talk to you.
It's been an honor to talk to you. I really appreciate you having me on. And I hope you have a great day, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to go put some hot sauce in my coffee and see how it goes.
Make sure it's super hot.
Right. All right. That wraps up another episode of How Success Happens. Thanks so much for listening. If you can stand even more of me in your life, please subscribe to my Substack. This should be fun. I write about embarrassing things in my life that will make you feel much, much better about your life decisions. And hey, if you're feeling the show, drop us a review, would you? Those old ones are for the other guy, and it'd be cool to get some love for the shiny new host, that's me. And if you are digging this sweet, sweet theme song, please check out more music from Nika RPM over on Bandcamp. And hey, do you have a comment, a success tip, or a question for one of our guests? Send it in to our bright and shiny new email address, howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. You send it in, I will read it on the air. And that's the Dan Bova promise. Catch you next time.